Good morning, everyone. Amazing songs. It's lovely to be together. One verse that stuck with me, it's around the table of the King. Isn't that amazing? We are here around the table of our King. And it's lovely to have the children with us. As someone posted, I think, on Facebook, they said, you know, the noise of children in a church, that means the church is alive. Amen? So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. So we will carry on from the book of Acts, an amazing story of the apostles, but also of the Holy Spirit. And as we all know, the book of Acts actually carries on with us, the followers of the Lord Jesus nowadays. So picking up from Chris's message last Sunday, as you remember, those of you who were here, he brought a machine gun, or was that a drill rather? It's like a big drill. And he showed us that without electricity, without power, that drill is useless. And it's the same for us as Christians. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, without God's presence in our lives, we can do nothing. So we're going to look today, we carry on from chapter 4 of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32-37, and then chapter 5 as well in Acts. We will see a difficult text there with Ananias and Sapphira. But before that, let's read together these verses from Acts chapter 4. So feel free to read together with me. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Amen. It's lovely to read together, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that in those days, the early church in Acts seems unstoppable? And as we learned, that was because of the Holy Spirit that was present working in their midst. What they have, we've seen there, they didn't have big buildings or sound or media or so many technical stuff, but they had the power of the Holy Spirit. So before we dive in to see what lessons we can learn from this text and also carrying on with Acts chapter 5, first of all, we read in Acts chapter 4, that the disciples, the first believers, were one heart and one soul. Wow. We see that they sold the properties. They sold some land they had. Okay? And it's important sometimes when we read the scripture to see what the scripture says and what it doesn't say, right? So the scripture really describes what the first disciples felt compelled to do, what they did. But it doesn't ask us to do the same, which is a relief, by the way, isn't it? Whew. The Bible doesn't ask us to do the same, to sell the properties and live in a shared accommodation or anything like that. But we need to learn the principle described there. What is the principle that we learn from this passage? Is generosity, isn't it? As we've seen with our children, lovely children, it wasn't easy, but in the end, they found joy in sharing a toy they had, isn't it? And it's the same with us. When, you know, it's good joy and good fun when we receive gifts, but also when we give to others and we help others. And giving in the church, as Jackie was praying earlier, and I know it's not easy for me as a minister to talk about giving, isn't it? But I just don't want us to miss out, because giving is an act of worship. It's not an obligation. It's an act of worship. And we discussed this during the discipline series, if you remember. And then I would encourage you to listen online, those series. And there was one on giving as well. We learned then that what we have, everything we have, is from the Lord anyway. Our life, our possessions, our health. So God knows, you know, what we keep for us as a blessing and what we give to Him as an act of worship. So just to reflect this morning again, how is our worship? How is my giving? And do I find blessing in it? Or is it maybe feel like an obligation? Because we see in the love, in the first Christian, the first disciples, their love for our Lord Jesus Christ diminished their attachment to worldly things. You know, new believers loved Jesus so much that they lost attachment to earthly and possessions. And you know, when our heart is full of God and love, our hands easily open to give and share. You see, their hearts overflow with gratitude for what happened in their lives and seeing what our Lord Jesus did for them, seeing Him resurrected. And as we learned, God doesn't ask us today to sell our house or anything like that, but He is calling to have generous hearts, to share in His love with others and for His kingdom. And then true generosity, you know, is not about the size of the gift. It's about the attitude of our heart, because God looks not at the amount, but at the motive. Remember when our Lord Jesus watched at the temple and He saw a poor widow just giving a few coins, and another rich man, you know, giving and being proud of himself. And the Lord Jesus said, that lady, that poor lady actually gave more, because she gave with her heart all she had. So true generosity, let's remember, is not about the size of the gift. It's about the motive. And then carrying on the lesson here, we see it's amazing how the Bible in Acts describes the first Christians. One in heart, one in soul, one in mission. As you can imagine, we learned last time, there were thousands of new Christians, thousands of new people giving their life to Jesus. And yet, they have one heart and one soul. How is that possible? Unless it's the power of God moving in their lives. So their unity was visible through the love for each other, sharing what they had. And we need that unity for today in Addlestone Baptist Church. We need that unity in our churches today. You know, how many churches are struggling that we are aware of because of lack of unity, because of conflicts, because of internal debates and so on? We need that unity here. Although we are different people coming from different backgrounds, we may see some things differently. We may have different interpretation of certain things. But it is the love of Jesus. It is the love of God that unites us and keeps us stronger as one soul, one heart, and one mission to share our Lord Jesus with others. So a united church, it's what we need here at Addlestone Baptist Church. And then if we think of it, who prayed for them to be united? It was our Lord Jesus Himself. And He prays for us too to stay united in Him. He says in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 21, I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in Me, us here, through their word, that they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. That unity that we have and love for one another shows to the world who Jesus is. Amen? Amen. So now we're going to move on to a more difficult passage. And as always, I draw the short straw again with this series. So we're going to explore the passage and the chapter about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. We don't hear many preaches from this passage because it's a difficult read. But in summary, for those of you who are not familiar with this, just a summary. Ananias and Sapphira, so they were a couple of family. They had a property. They sold it and secretly kept part of the money. They pretend to give it all to the church. And Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, exposed their lie. So both fell dead after their deceit was revealed. And a great fear seized the whole church. So that is the summary, but feel free to read Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. As we've seen, you know, the early church was starting to grow. The Holy Spirit was doing amazing things. We saw the generosity. We saw a season of revival. People coming to faith. People being saved. The apostle preaching with courage. And despite all that, we see Ananias and Sapphira chose deceit over honesty. As Julie started this morning, the word for today is honesty, is integrity. And that result for their choice was tragic. And you know, this is a passage that shakes us, humbles us, and reminds us that while God is full of grace, He is also holy and just. But both are expressions of His love for us. So first of all, what lessons we learn from this passage? Well, we learned the fact that they were swimming against the current of God's Spirit, isn't it? When God was moving, God was doing amazing things, miracles, they were swimming against the current of God's movement. So this is a loving warning, if you like, for us this morning, to make sure I am not the one swimming against the current of God's Spirit. And make sure I am involved in the church. And make sure I am responding to what the Holy Spirit is asking of me to do. Making sure I put to good use the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit in my life. Isn't it? That's an important lesson for us this morning. We've seen God was doing revival, generosity, and yet they chose to look for impressing people or pleasing people rather than staying in obedience of God. So they found themselves, unfortunately, deceived by the evil one. Instead of standing in awe of what God was doing, you know, they started to believe a lie in their lives as well. And the problem was not the gift, because Peter said to them, that was your property. You could do whatever you like. You could give as much as you like. But the problem was the lie. It was what happened in their heart. And that was, you know, for us, again, it's a loving warning. So don't miss God's blessings by resisting the Holy Spirit in our lives. They longed for recognition instead of relationships. They wanted applause more than honesty, isn't it? And their sin was not keeping part of their money, as we said. It was just lying about it. They wanted reputation without righteousness, praise without purity. And Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be seen more spiritual, more generous than they actually were. And friends, let's be honest here. We sometimes can see ourselves a little bit in their story. I mean, who here has never tried to look holier than we are, look better than we are? You know, put a picture or a mask when things were not as they should in our life. Hide our weaknesses so others will think that we are much better. And God is not impressed by appearances. He desires truth and an open heart. So let's reflect this morning. How is our life? How is our attitude towards God? Then we look at Sapphira's complicity. She had the chance to say the truth, but unfortunately she missed that chance. When Peter asked her, you know, what was the price for that property? She continued to lie. And Peter was saying, how could you both conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? And there is a lesson for us here. When someone that you love tempts you to disobey God, you must choose God first. As we read later in chapter 5, we must obey God rather than human beings. This is a hard lesson. So if you're surrounded by friends or people who attract you or keeps you away from God, that may be a time for us to reconsider our friendship and our relationship with them. And we see an example in the Old Testament. As you remember, Abigail in 1 Samuel disobeyed her foolish husband, Nabal, to prevent his destruction, and God honored her wisdom. So true relationship sometimes means to say, that is not right. We need to look at our lives and just make a judgment. If people are pulling us away from God, maybe we need to reflect, because unity in our relationship, it should bring us closer to God as well, closer to one another and closer to God. You see, the evil strategy in this story, if you like, if Satan could not destroy the church from persecution, he tried to corrupt the church from within. And that is an actual danger even for us today. You know, how many churches, as we said before, are in difficult situations? Because being church, being part of a spiritual family, takes humility. It takes love. It takes respect. It takes giving away some of the things we come with from our background. And Peter was saying to them, why has Satan filled your heart? So we see that someone else at work behind the scenes. His tactic, the evil one's tactic, is always deception, creating confusion and division. And that's what he's been doing since the history of humanity. He tempted Eve with pride in the Garden of Eden. He tempted Judas with greed in the upper room. And now he tempts Ananias and Sapphira with hypocrisy in the early church. So the question for us is, how is he tempting us today? How is he trying to keep us away from the love of God? Because you see, where God is moving, the evil one is scheming. So let's stay alert, as Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world. So if your family is growing in faith, expect spiritual resistance. If you've just got baptized or you're planning to be baptized, expect temptations and attacks from the evil one. You know, this is our life. This is our battle. If we see our church growing and souls being saved, expect distraction, division, and pride to creep in. Because the evil one does not mind religion and rituals, but he just hates holiness, honesty, and repentance. So let's stay alert, my dear friends, brothers and sisters. Stay alert with open hearts. And just as I prepare for this passage, my personal thinking here, and please take this as my personal thought. Don't take this as a theological study or truth. But I personally think that God actually had mercy on Ananias and Sapphira because, you know, of their sudden death. Yes, that's tragic. But I think that spared them from the judgment of others. Can you imagine the life they would have had in the community? Further humiliation, judgment from others. Their exposure to deceive God and the Holy Spirit would have been too much for them to bear. So that's my kind of relief, if you like, interpreting this sad story. Because sometimes God's mercy appears in forms that we don't fully understand. And we need to be honest and open about this. But God's goal is always restoration, is always to show his love and to bring us back to his loving arms. Because let's be honest, if God will do the same today, who would stand? And I'm sure I wouldn't. So we see God's mercy and love for us because every breath, every movement of our arms and legs, everything in our lives, it is a gift from God. So this passage then, let's not take it as something to be afraid of or being scared about what God can do. It means actually to draw us closer to him. Draw us closer to God, as it says in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. This is an opportunity for us to come closer to God and pray, Lord, search my heart. You know, holiness is not being perfect, but it's being transparent. Don't lie about your sin, saying everyone does it. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Instead, let's pray like David in Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. And you know, God doesn't shame us. He restores us. He forgives us. He doesn't expect perfection from our lives, but he does expect being real, being honest, and have an open heart. So if you feel convicted of anything this morning, I would like to say that is God's love, is not condemnation. That is God's love. That is the Holy Spirit working in our lives, showing us if things are not in the right place. And it's us saying to God, Father, I am your child. You know I'm stumbling. You know I need you. And God, that's what he's looking for as a loving parent. In his love, in his truth, he wants to restore us. So in summary, this story is tragic but necessary. It reminds us of that the Spirit of God is holy and is not to be mocked. The church can't be powerful if it's not pure and honest. So let's be a people of integrity in giving, serving, and living. And confess rather than cover, repent rather than pretend. Because holiness, let's remember, is transparency, and truth is not perfection. And when we walk in truth, the Spirit walks in power. Amen? Amen. So just to close, a few other themes from the final verses in chapter 5 very quickly, because God is always full of positive promises and a lot of blessings for us. We see the miraculous powers carrying on in chapter 5 in Acts. We see the apostle perform many signs and wonders. Crowds brought sick and tormented to be healed. And when God is present, lives are changed. Rising opposition we see then in the early church. Again, the Pharisees and the priests, they filled with jealousy. So they arrested the apostles trying to stop the movement. But in the night, we read an angel of the Lord opened the prison. And the angel commanded, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life. And this commandment is for us today. Go and speak. Go and talk. So instead of hiding, the apostles went right back onto preaching. So that is courageous obedience. The apostles were brought before the council again, trying to stop them. But Peter's bold reply is, we must obey God rather than human beings. They proclaimed Jesus as the risen Savior, even when threatened with their life, with death. So then we read about this Gamaliel, a respected teacher. He stood up and reasoned with the council in Jerusalem. And he said, if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop this man. That is such an encouragement for us here at Alderston Baptist Church. If what we're doing here, it is from God, then no one in the whole world and nothing could stop us. Amen? So let's rejoice. Let's have joy in what God is doing in our lives, in our midst. As the apostle rejoiced when they were flogged. They've been flogged and punished for their faith. That is amazing, you know, just rejoicing that they were considered worthy to suffer for the love of God. So I'll leave you there. It's a lot to take in, I know. But I think we see here the power of the Holy Spirit in the work of the first Christians. And the same power is available for us today. So God bless you all. And let's walk in boldness to proclaim the gospel. Because if God is for us, nothing can stand against it. Amen. God bless you.